I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Stretch run of Grant and Danny taking you up to 6:30 this evening. Overtime, and we are done right here on The Fan. Before we get out of here, our confidence points picks going into the weekend, Championship Sunday. We will put our predictions on the line for you. You will know how we feel about every single game. But let's get you a preview in detail. Eagles 49ers, NFC title game, Lincoln Financial Field. Game one of two of the doubleheader on Sunday kicks off in Philadelphia at 3 East time. And to help us preview this game, please to welcome Dave Zingaro, covers the Eagles in Philadelphia for NBC Sports Philly on Grant and Danny right now on the BetQL guest hotline. Dave, what is the vibe with this fan base going into this game? Eagles are favored at home to get back to the Super Bowl.
It feels like this week took a month. Everyone's just really excited to watch this game play out, and the vibe is good. I mean, everyone in this city is pretty excited to watch this game. It kind of felt like for, you know, really since the middle of the season, these two teams were on a collision course, and I think this is the best possible game. There's so much talent that's going to be on the field Sunday. It should be a good game, and we're all just really excited to watch it play out.
I think I'm guilty of this, Dave, but I forgot how good Philadelphia was. That was my own fault. That was my own watching them kind of cruise down the stretch, you know, with and without Hurts and kind of mailing in really that last month. They reminded everybody last week. Did you get that feeling that people kind of forgot how good Philadelphia was and that's the story?
Yeah, a little bit. And they earned the right to kind of loaf it at the end of the season. They built up this big lead. And then, you know, they couldn't win a couple games with Gardner Minshew, and Jalen comes back. And in week 18, he didn't look right. The offense was about as vanilla as they could make it. It was basically like, let's play this game to win it. We needed to win this game, but we're not going to go all out. We're not going to put him at risk of injury, and that's what they did. And what we saw was just this vanilla blah offense, and you thought, maybe they're not peaking at the right time, maybe they've had too long of a layoff. But then last week they were able to just turn it on again, and they reminded everyone that this is a really talented roster, and they're 15-1 with Jalen Hurts as their quarterback this year. They're a tough team, and they had 8 Pro Bowlers. I mean, this is a really stacked roster, even outside of the quarterback. And that's what makes this game so much fun. Nick Sirianni said it earlier this week. It's good on good. A lot of these matchups in this game are like prime time viewing. This is what we all want to see. Two rosters just absolutely loaded with talent going at it in a championship game.
I feel like there's a lot more in the tank throwing the football than we saw last week. Obviously, A.J. Brown, hands up in the air on the sideline in the final minutes, was kind of weird as his team is securing an NFC championship berth and a blowout win. But they didn't really have to flex their muscles. I mean, they just ran the ball right down the Giants' throat. If they have to throw it against San Francisco, how would you feel about that?
I think you feel pretty good about it. And really, it's the one area where that defense has been a little more susceptible. They've been really good against the run, but they will give up chunk plays through the air. And the Eagles, pretty much every week, they feel like they have a pretty good advantage going with their receivers against the opposing corners. When you have A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith, that'll help you feel that way. I think, really, the best matchup they're going to have this weekend is Devontae Smith against the Amador Lenore. The Eagles like that one, and they should like that one. They're going to be able to pass it. But I wouldn't completely rule out the chance of them running the football either. I know San Francisco has the number one run defense in the league, but they haven't really played a mobile quarterback. I know they've faced Justin Fields, but that was week one, so you kind of throw that one out. Jalen changes the numbers, and having to defend him on the backside is tough, and the Eagles have an advantage on their offensive line against the Niners' defensive line. Nick Bosa is obviously a great player, probably going to win the Defensive Player of the Year. He deserves it, but overall, the Eagles have an advantage there. They have the best offensive line in football, and they bullied the Giants last week. They probably won't be able to bully the 49ers quite like that, but they're still going to try to run the ball. I mean, it's what that line does better than just about any line in the league. So I think they have an opportunity to pass, but I don't think it's going to be as one-sided as some people think.
NBC Sports Philadelphia's Dave Zangaro joins us here on G&D. And Dave, you just touched on it. Again, Philadelphia is excellent. That's above sort of discussion at this point. If there was a team that I would say is a good matchup to kind of, you know, kind of get in their way or be a fly in the ointment, it kind of would be San Francisco and the way that they play. Expound on that. Give me your thoughts or tell me you think I'm wrong.
You know, I think they're the best matchup just because they're this, in my opinion, the second most talented team in the NFC. I don't know about the style. I think they have the ability to fly around on defense, and that's apparent. I mean, you have guys like Fred Warner and Dre Greenlaw, Nick Bosa, Talanoa Hufanga. I mean, they have some missiles out there that are going to give any team some difficulty. I don't know if it necessarily lines up to beat the Eagles. I mean, they play a really physical style of football, but it's not like the Eagles are a finesse team either. I mean, they have that really tough offensive line that gets to the second level and blocks really well. They have some tough receivers. You know, A.J. Brown's a big guy, tough to bring down. Devontae Smith, 170 pounds soaking wet, but he plays about as tough as anyone in the league. So then you have Dallas Goedert, too, who is one of the better tight ends in the league, blocks at the line of scrimmage and in space. So I think that I don't know if the 49ers are like this incredibly tough matchup because of anything they do. I think it's just because they're a really talented team, and that talent is just about on par with the Eagles. That's what makes it a tough matchup. But what makes it a fun matchup is just how physical this is going to be. I mean, this is going to be a violent football game. And there's no way around that. Just looking at the way the 49ers play and the way the Eagles play, that's why I think everyone's so excited for it.
Dave Zangaro, NBC Sports Philadelphia. Yeah, the countdown is on. We are now about 45 hours away from the kickoff of the game on Championship Sunday. It's going to be a blast, and really we could have two terrific games. I mean, this is the first time since 1998 that we have had two games played on Championship Sunday where both games were within 3 points in margin when the game kicked off in terms of the point spread. So this is pretty unique, and we don't see this a whole lot. You mentioned Devontae Smith. I'm wondering, to me, he's like the ultimate X factor, guy that doesn't get enough credit, especially second half this season with his usage. You know, they've targeted him more and involved him a lot more. Who else would you say are some of the unsung heroes of this Eagles team that are going to be critical if they're going to win another playoff game this weekend?
I mentioned Dallas Goedert. He's one that, you know, even when he's not catching the ball, he's such a weapon as a run blocker and as a pass blocker that I don't think he gets to do. He deserves it. It was a shame he missed a few games this year. Would have gone to his first Pro Bowl. But he's arguably, you know, if Kittle's the best tight end in the NFC, he's right there with him. I mean, Dallas Goedert is a very talented player. If you're looking for a little under-the-radar players, I think Quez Watkins, their third receiver, has a chance to make a big play in this game. The 49ers do give up chunk plays through the air, and he's a speed guy. 4.35 out of college. I mean, he's the burner on this team, and he has a chance to make some plays. And then if you're flipping it to the defensive side, I'll give you another X factor where you know that defensive line is so good, and they have all the stars on there with Hassan Reddick and Hargrave and Fletcher Cox. But I'll give you Milton Williams, who's a second-year, third-round guy, plays defensive tackle. The middle of that 49ers offensive line, to me, is a pretty weak spot on the team, and I think he has a chance to really get upfield. We saw the Cowboys last week have some success up the middle. Also, Odighizuwa, who's a smaller, quick defensive tackle, had a lot of pressure. I think Milton could fill that role this week.
Defensively, I think every day Grant and I should come in here and be like, we're going to start the show in a second, but Philadelphia had 70 sacks this year. And then we can kind of go about the show. That total is just patently absurd. The next closest team had 15 fewer sacks than they did as a team. How did they do it? And what are we going to see here this weekend against San Francisco?
Yeah, the impressive thing really is that it was spread out. I mean, Hassan Reddick led the way with 16, but then they had three other guys with double digits, which the first time in NFL history. And one of those guys is Brandon Graham, who was a bench player. I mean, he's coming in on the rotation. And I think that's what makes this unit so special is how deep they are. A lot of teams have one or two elite pass rushers, but the Eagles bring it in waves. And by the fourth quarter, especially if they have a lead and they're getting teams in the known pass, that's when they can really kind of pin their ears back. So you have the starting group with Reddick and Josh Sweat, Fletcher Cox, Javon Hargrave. And then the next unit is almost as good with Brandon Graham and Dominican Sue and Linval Joseph now. Milton Williams, who I mentioned. So I think that's what is kind of special about this group is, sure, the starters are great, but the second wave comes in and they're able to stay fresh. And the offensive line doesn't have that benefit, right? They're staying in there for every snap. And by the time you get into the second half of games, especially with how much the Eagles have had leads this year, that's really helped them, obviously. They're able to really kind of attack, especially in those known pass situations. And they've been so good at it this year. And they're finishing. You know, they're getting to the quarterback. It's one thing to get pressure. Getting a sack means you're bringing them down, and they've done that really well this year.
Howie Roseman is one of the best GMs in football, and he's now on multiple different iterations gotten this team to a Super Bowl. What is his status within that fan base? I'm just curious. And when you take a step back and look at how they've done this, you know, they in Washington were kind of on equal footing. A couple of years ago, they decided to quite literally tank mid-game and go to Sudfeld. Washington kind of keeps pushing all the chips in year after year to try to be good and spin in their tires. What do you make of how they did this?
It's been impressive. And you know, earlier this week, I think I was talking to JP and B-Mitch, and I was telling them that, this Washington team is kind of stuck in purgatory. It's the worst spot to be in the NFL, honestly. It's just that middle ground where you think you're almost good enough and you're going to keep trying to retool and retool. It's almost better to just bottom out like the Eagles did in 2020, start fresh and then rebuild. If Howie Roseman pulls this off and the Eagles win a Super Bowl, he's a Hall of Fame executive. To bring two different teams with different head coaches, different quarterbacks, and win a Super Bowl 5 years apart, it's almost completely unheard of. So every single move he made this offseason worked. I mean, he traded for A.J. Brown. He fleeced the Titans. He brought in C.J. Gardner-Johnson in a trade. He signed James Bradbury in May. He signed Hassan Reddick for $15 million a year, which is now a complete steal. So it's one of those years, and it kind of feels like 2017 all over again. He had every move he made in that Super Bowl year worked, and that's the same thing that's happened this year. It's impressive, and Eagles fans have been really tough on Howie at times during his tenure here, but these results kind of speak for themselves. What he's done is pretty amazing.
If Philadelphia wins, how did it happen? And if they lose, what happened?
Yeah, so many times this year, I've said the only way the Eagles can lose is if they beat themselves. That's not the case this week. I mean, the 49ers are good enough that they can come out, play a better game, and win. But to me, these rosters are so even that it really comes down to a few tiebreakers in my mind, things that could sway it one way or the other. And in my opinion, a lot of those kind of lean toward the Eagles. And I'll start with the quarterback. They just have a better quarterback. And that's not a shot at Brock Purdy, who's done a great job. But the Eagles have an MVP candidate back there who has a little more experience and has played in a lot of huge games before. So I think that leans toward the Eagles. They're at home, obviously. That place is going to be loud. It's going to be tough on a rookie quarterback. And then I also think Nick Sirianni's been a better in-game coach than Kyle Shanahan, who deserves all the credit in the world for his offensive scheme and the way he dissects and finds matchup advantages. But I really don't like the way he calls games in the middle of them, whether it's being super non-aggressive or kind of losing track of the play clock and the time at the end of a half or a game. So Sirianni's been great at that. He doesn't call plays, which is something he started last year, and it's freed him up to be this CEO coach and have a better grasp of everything, and it's really worked for them. So I look at all those things, and I feel like the talent, it's kind of a toss-up. These are two really good teams, and you're trying to find where could this game be won and lost. And aside from turnovers, which is obviously always going to dictate who wins and loses football games, those are the other sort of tiebreakers, and I think a lot of them are in favor of the Eagles.
Dave Zingaro, NBC Sports in Philly. Enjoy the game. We are very, very envious. Have a blast this weekend.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, be well. NBC Sports Philadelphia is where you can check him out through the weekend. It is time right now, before we get out of here, to tell you what we think is going to happen. Let's get the confidence points picks in. Loser takes the SAT test. Darris, update the standings. Your boy's in a little trouble, but I am closing in on Darris in the rearview mirror.
Yeah, we are only separated by 6 points. You are in fourth place with 118 points. I'm in third place with 124. Danny in second place with 134. And Ryan just continues to lead the pack. 138.
Sitting pretty. All right, so last week was a bloodbath for everyone. Because I remember watching and I'm going, oh my God, they got that one wrong. They got that one wrong. I'm hooked. I'm gonna be farting.
You're gonna be silly.
look how much red is on there. There's so much red.
The red wedding.
Your boy. So I must have gone, 1-4 with my 5-point play, or
yeah,
what did I do?
Your 5-point play hit, my 5-point play hit. We missed all our other picks between the two of us.
Disaster. So no ground gained when I needed it against Darris. So things are getting tighter. Ryan, you're sitting pretty, but you just can't collapse. You just need to don't think about anything. Just stay calm. You just got to keep chopping wood. So your 5-point play will go in the order of the standings.
All right, I'm going to start off my 5-point play. I have Cincinnati plus 1.5, and here's the simple thing. I think the Bengals are the better team, but then also, I'm not so sure that Patrick Mahomes can bounce back after having his ankle being bent in. Let's look at the replay. His ankle bent the wrong way. Cincinnati plus 1.5.
Worked for me last week. I'm going with it again. Jerick McKinnon under 28.5 rushing yards. Logic, A, he doesn't rush for many yards. B, he'll be in pass pro when he's back there. He'll catch some passes for Kansas City. I don't see him running the rock a lot.
You covered that by 1 yard exactly.
Half a yard.
The half yard
half.
Hook. And you're
half.
You just feel great about going back to the
I don't feel good about it at all. I have no idea, and I'm terrible at this. Go ahead.
All right, I got my 5-point play. Jalen Hurts under 46.5 rushing yards. I know it sounds risky, but you look at some of the 49ers numbers versus running quarterbacks this year. Justin Fields only ran for 28 yards. Russell Wilson only ran for 17 yards. Marcus Mariota ran for 50, but it was a long of 20. I don't think the 49ers are going to let Jalen Hurts break off a big run. He also hasn't been running very much since he came back from his shoulder injury. I think I can get this Jalen Hurts under 46.5 rushing yards.
I like it. All right, these are our 5-point plays. We'll go in decreasing order with our 4, 3, 2, and 1-point plays. Total of 15 on the line for everybody. Hopefully you can cap out at 15 points. My 5-point play, I've got Isaiah Pacheco over 48.5 rushing yards. Pacheco last week ran for 95 yards, 64 the week before that. In fact, with this total at 48.5, it just feels too low. He's only gone under that one time since week 9, unless I'm doing something wrong here with my math. So I love this. I think this is easy. Money in the bank, automatic deposit. Pacheco over 48.5 rushing yards.
All right, my 4-point play, I have the over in the Philadelphia Niners game, and that is at 46.5. I think there will be a sneaky amount of points dropped here. I don't know why I had that general feeling, but I think there are two good offenses and two good defenses, and I think in today's NFL, the offenses usually win that battle.
My turn.
Joe Mixon, over 59.5 rushing yards. I think Cincinnati will run the ball pretty effectively against Kansas City.
I have Brock Purdy over 218.5 passing yards. He only has a handful of games where he hasn't passed for over 218 yards. And I also think they're going to get down early because Philadelphia starts fast. So he's going to be passing a lot towards the end of the game.
So just for clarification and clerical note-keeping here, I've got that on FanDuel at 218.5.
What did I say?
219. That's fine.
Sorry, yeah.
You 218 still want to stick with
it? Yep, 218 and
all right,
a half.
I would hate to have controversy abound.
Can't have that, no.
Based on 1 yard differential there. I actually have that coming up a little bit later on as well. I'll be on the other side of that, Darris, just so you're on the same page. But, yeah, so you got, you're locked in. I'm going to go Mixon, four-point play with Danny. We're riding together on this. Joe Mixon, over 59.5 yards for the Bengals. I think they have been running the ball effectively. You play the Chiefs, you take the air out of the ball a little bit. It worked for them last week against Buffalo. Don't change anything. 59.5, run it right at Chris Jones. Don't let him get going, getting up the field in the passing game.
All right, my three-point play of the Niners plus 2.5 going against the Eagles. I just think the Niners have this defense, and this defense is the same exact one as their 2019 team where they led them to the Super Bowl, so I see them leading them to the Super Bowl yet again.
I've gone back and forth on what I want to do on this one. I had San Francisco and Philadelphia the under overall. I don't like anything from here on out. I do like the Pacheco over 48.5 on the rushing total. I think it's going to be close, but that's my three-point play.
Welcome, Danny. Look at you.
Just run the dang ball.
I'm going to join you guys with my three-point play on the Joe Mixon over 59.5 rushing
yards. Kiss of death, by the way. There probably won't be a rush attempt in that game.
Yeah, he'll probably rush for 0 yards at this point. But, I mean, he had 88 yards on 21 carries in last year's AFC Championship. I think they showed last week that they want to run the ball with Joe Mixon.
Three-point play, I'm going under the total in San Francisco, Philadelphia, set at 46.5. I think this is a low-scoring game. I said it earlier in the show. The two best defenses in football, I think there's going to be takeaways. I think that this is a 24-20, 24-17 kind of feel to it, 23-20 maybe. I got this under 46.5. I probably would have gone under at 45, 44.5. So I love getting a couple extra points here.
My two point play, I have Marquez Valdes-Scantling over 27.5 receiving yards. I think this. They're going to key in on Travis Kelce, because if you're going to let Travis Kelce go loose and have a game, they're going to win that game. You're going to key on him, and people will be open. I think Scantling gets open and has like a 30-plus yard reception.
I scoured the prop bets here. I was on BetQL looking at different things. Here's one I got. I'm going to throw it as my two-point play. Again, I have no idea. Kenneth Gainwell, over 3.5 rush attempts. Kenneth Gainwell, over 3.5 rush attempts.
What's the odds on that?
-102.
All right, that plays. That works for us.
That's sneaky good.
That is good.
I don't know.
This one's kind of risky. It feels crazy even saying this out loud. I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes under 285.5 passing yards. I mean, the guy's hurt, so we'll take that into account, one. And then four career games against Kansas City, he's only passed for over 300 yards once, and that was back in 2018, not this era of Kansas City. Not this era of the Bengals. So, going to take Patrick Mahomes under 285.5 passing yards.
Two-point play for me, Devontae Smith, over 66.5 receiving yards. San Francisco's done a great job against tight ends. They've done a really good job against running backs out of the backfield, and they have done a pretty good job against wide receiver ones. Their bugaboo has been wide receiver twos. Devontae Smith, 66.5 yards. First 11 game of the season, he averaged 7 targets, 5 catches, and 55 yards. Over the last 7 games, he's averaged 10 targets and 93 yards. And he just went off this past weekend in the playoffs. 66 and a hook. We're going over that with Devontae Smith.
My one-point play, I have Joe Mixon going over 59.5 rushing
yards. We all have it.
I know. We all have it. I just was not as confident as you guys were, but I do believe Joe Mixon goes off, and he has a day come Sunday.
It's a solid hedge if you're in the lead, by the way. You get a little point. Even if we get a few, he gets one. Smart if he doesn't play. Get it, doesn't hurt him. It's sharp. That's why he's number one in the power rankings. I just got a feeling, and my feelings are usually wrong, but here it is. That's why it's a one-point play. Cincinnati plus 1.5. I think they're the better team. I think they win the game.
I've also got a feeling. I got a feeling T. Higgins is due. He didn't get much burn last week. This week, I think he goes over the 56.5 receiving yards for T. Higgins. Over.
One-point play for me, Brock Purdy under 218.5 passing yards.
How dare you?
Under 218.5. You look at the Eagles' defense and what they've done with quarterbacks recently. I think Daniel Jones had like 130 yards last week, 135 to be exact. Davis Webb in week 18 went for 168. The week before that against the Saints, and they beat the Eagles 20-10. Andy Dalton was 205. It's been a little while since anyone's been over 218.5. So I'm going to go under that total for Brock Purdy, my one-point play. Darris will post all of these on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Grant and Danny, so you can track with us throughout the weekend as one of us is going to take a big step toward having to take the SAT test. Or Danny will have to provide us with lunch.
Catering lunch for you boys.
Because he would not opt in to the bet that the rest of us decided to participate in. Danny, you just picked the Bengals to beat the Chiefs. Give me your pick, your final pick for Eagles and 49ers.
Bengals 27-24 for the other division, the other side of the NFC. 17-16, Philadelphia Eagles going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, that's ugly.
It's gross.
I'm going to say Eagles 23-17 over the Niners. And I've got Kansas City beating Cincinnati 27-24. I think both games will be really good. I'm excited for the weekend. Thanks to Darris and Ryan, as always, for the hard work behind the scenes. For Danny, I'm Grant, saying so long. 2 o'clock on Monday, we are back with thoughts on everything that happened throughout the weekend. Enjoy your evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.